Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series.
My guest today is Dr. Devendra Das Sharma, a senior fellow and chief IO architect in the Data Platforms and Artificial Intelligence Group at Intel. He's a member of NAE, fellow of IEEE, and a fellow of International Academy of AI Sciences. He is a leading expert on IO subsystem and interface architecture. He co-invented the chiplet interconnect standard, UCIe, and is the chair of the UCIe consortium, which is what we're going to talk about today. Welcome to the podcast, Devendra.
Hey, thank you, Daniel. It's an honor and a pleasure to talk to you.
It is also an honor and a pleasure to talk to you. First, can you tell us a little bit about your storied career journey with Intel and what you're doing today?
Sure. I did my undergraduate in India at Indian Institute of Technology, IIT Kharagpur. Then I came to US to do my PhD at University of Massachusetts Amherst. And after graduating with my PhD in 94, I joined HP, now HPE, Hewlett Packard. So we were doing server chipsets at HP. Of course, IO is part of that, as is memory and all those good things. In 2001, our group got acquired by Intel. So I've been with Intel. So technically have been with Intel because of the acquisition since 1994. Started off working on the server chipset side at Intel. That was the time we were making the transition from the PCI bus-based architecture to PCI Express links-based. So I've been involved in driving PCI Express since then. And that's how I started in the IO side. Well, I was involved in the IO side from the HP days. So I've been pretty much an IO guy all throughout my career. I did Compute Express Link, multiple generations of PCI Express, still very involved in that. I did Compute Express Link, still involved in that very much. And then, of course, the latest one is the chiplets, which is Universal Chiplet Interconnect Express, UCIe.
That's great. So let's start off. Can you share a quick introduction about UCIe?
Sure. So as I said, UCIe basically stands for Universal Chiplet Interconnect Express. It's an open industry consortium. We formed it in March of 2022. And our goal was to drive an open industry standard that will result in basically an open chiplet ecosystem. And what we have seen from our experience with PCI Express and CXL and USB is that these kind of open standards, they unleash innovations in whichever area that you open them up with. So the goal of UCIe was to unleash innovations on the on-package landscape. Currently, UCIe has more than 140 member companies across the globe. And basically, these will be your who's who in the field of foundry, semiconductors, packaging, IP, cloud service providers, automotive, right, you name it. And as I said, the model that we've had in mind was similar to that with PCI Express, USB, CXL. Effectively, we have seen the goodness that open standards belong. So for example, at a board level, you can today build, and this has been true for decades now, right? And any kind of a networking device or an SSD or an accelerator with PCI Express, and you don't have to worry about, hey, who is going to be my attach point, right? Almost all the platforms today, they have PCI Express. So you just focus on doing the work in which you are innovating on, and you have an attach point. And the same concept was there in our minds when we formed UCIe. You can build chiplets, right? Chiplets are becoming the way to deliver the required power performance in today's systems. And it is not a niche that people are in. We are in, that's mainstream today, right? If you look at any company's offerings, primarily you are going to find that there are multiple chiplets that are effectively stitched together. So our goal was to democratize that, to make sure that there is a standard in which everybody is going to connect. And then as a system in package provider or a SIP provider, you can decide to choose, oh, hey, whose accelerator am I going to use? Okay, so company X, Y, or Z has an accelerator that meets my need. I'm going to put that in. well, it needs to speak the same language as the rest of the chiplets you're putting in that particular package. And that's what UCIe is. Effectively, the goal of UCIe was to have an open standard incorporating heterogeneous integration of chiplets, right? And those can be accelerators, compute, IO, memory, you name it. And there are, again, multiple reasons why we are in the chiplet era today. And those are things like everybody's up against reticle limits, smaller dies yield better. So you want to have lots of smaller dies that you want to put them together, better integration. So we decided that in 2022, that the time was right for us to go and standardize UCIe. So that way, while all these innovations are happening, it's going to also open up and give an open chiplet ecosystem.
Yeah, I agree. I remember when PCIe came out years and years ago, and it was a struggle. But UCIE, the consortium, I mean, it's such a fast-growing organization, and it's important, right, for AI. Certainly, all AI chips are based, the big ones are based on chiplets. But so can you walk us through the different specification features? You know, how was the spec evolved from maybe 1.0 to, I think, 3.0?
Sure, happy to. So UCIe 1.0, which again, it came out in March of 2022 when we formed the consortium. It was a fully developed specification. There we addressed connectivity for what I would call planar chiplets. So basically the idea is that you put chiplets next to each other on the package and you connect them. They're not sitting on top of each other. They're just sitting next to each other, right? So think of it as a planar connection. And that's basically what UCIe 1.0 was. And basically, there are two types of planar connectivity. I'm going a little bit technical here. So at that planar level, there is the regular 2D kind of connectivity, which is known as standard packaging. You know, you basically have a little higher bump pitch, similar to the way your regular package, once you put things on the package, that's where the bumps are, about 100 to 130 micron, minimum distance between them. And these 2D connections are a little far off in the sense that you can place chiplets up to 25 millimeter from each other, connect them. And that's very good from a cost-effective kind of packaging. There's another type of planar connectivity that is known, that is used in what we call advanced packaging. It's called 2.5D, basically. It's neither 3D nor 2D, right? I mean, it's more denser than 2D, so 2.5D. And you know, you basically have very high density connections. Most of the times you're using some kind of an interposer. So for example, you might have like a passive silicon which just has wires that is used to connect between the dies. So bump pitch is very much reduced, 25 to 55 micron. That basically enables that bump pitch reduction, enables the high density connection, and the distance has to be short, about less than 2 millimeters. So basically what we did with UCIe 1.0, talking about planar connectivity, is we defined a complete specifications, and the goal was you build chiplets based on UCIe 1.0, you decide whether you want 2D or 2.5D connection, but once you have decided that, it's going to interoperate with any other chiplet that is designed to that UCIe 1.0 specification. So we defined things like, it's a layered approach, like any protocol, successful protocol is. Like we have things like physical layer that this does things like, you know, how does your analog circuits work? What is the voltage level? How is the channel done? You know, how do you train the link? If there is an error in the lane, how do you repair? Right? I mean, things like, you know, which order the bumps are there? How do you connect? So it basically deals with all the nitty-gritty details that you need in order to make things interoperate. We also had like things like die-to-die adapter that, you know, you have the link running, you get a bit error, how do you handle that? So all of those are handled there. So, and then we also talked about how does this interface with the underlying protocol? We talked about how the software discover things, what is the software-hardware interface? How do you manage these chiplets? How do you do compliance testing, right? All of these things got addressed with UCIe 1.0. We did a 1.1, which basically addressed the automotive usage with along with some optimization. So that was UCIe 1.0 and 1.1. 2.0, what we did was there are two major things we did with UCIe 2.0. First one is we introduced vertical connectivity. In other words, you have chiplets that are stacked on top of each other, so they are connected vertically, right? It's known as 3D connectivity. And it's, think of it as, these are like multi-storied buildings, right? You build up, right? You build up, so that gives you much more higher density. And in the packaging world, higher density is better, right? Because you want to deliver a punch within a small package. So multiple, and you can have these multiple vertical chiplet stacks that you can interconnect using planar connectivity. So, and there are 3D kind of connectivity is also prevalent in the marketplace. So you, and those are characterized by very low bump pitches. That helps a lot in terms of things like getting more bandwidth and reducing power. So that's what the first aspect that we did with UCIe 2.0 is that in addition to the planar connectivity that we did with UCIe 1.0 and 1.1, we introduced the notion of vertical connectivity. So you're building up, right? In addition to building out on the package level. Now, a second aspect that we addressed with UCIe 2.0 is around, you know, there are lots of things around things like testability, manageability, debug, things that you need to address, not just at the interconnect level, but also holistically at the package level, chiplet level, platform level. We address that those aspects with UCIe 2.0. So things like, you know, how do you do firmware download? You know, how do you do testing of the die, right? Once you put things on the package, how do you do testing? How do you debug? All of those kind of aspects we addressed with UCIe 2.0. So two things we addressed, as I said, in UCIe 2.0. One is vertical connectivity, and the other one is around the testability, manageability, debug, all of those aspects. 3.0, which we introduced, third generation, that was a few months back. This is March of 2026. I believe that was sometime in August or September of 2025. We doubled the planar bandwidth density. That is to address the ever demanding AI, machine learning, HPC needs. So we doubled the density bandwidth that you get. And we made a lot of enhancements around power optimizations. We also, by the way, addressed a new market segment, which is around continuous transmission protocol. So think of it like a DSP chip that you have, which is basically a bunch of analog components that you want to connect to an SoC. So that interface a lot of DSP providers wanted to migrate to UCIe, right? So we made some minor enhancements and that made it possible. We also made some enhancements towards manageability. And by the way, all of these specifications that we are evolving, we evolve them in a fully backwards compatible manner. So that's probably more than what you were asking for in terms of the specification evolution, but that's a very short history of that. And by the way, for the people that are listening in, if they want to delve deeper, each of these, there is a very detailed webinar that walks through, publicly available webinar. You can go to the UCIe website and download and listen to the webinars.
No, that was a great description. So one of the things I want to ask about is key target metrics. So what are they? I mean, why does UCIe provide the key target metrics? And maybe you can give us some example.
Yeah, so let's talk about key metrics, right? So effectively, when I'm putting together something, whether I'm an architect or if I'm a designer or I'm a validator, doesn't matter, right? And if you think about an open system, that needs to be, think of it as you provide clear expectations and guidance, what you expect each of the component in the SIP, which is a system in a package, to do, each chiplet to do, right? Because you may not know the chiplet that you might be putting in, it might be getting designed. So at the interface, you need to know what to expect. So let's talk specifics here. So we have multiple sets of metrics. One of them is, for example, linear bandwidth density. Basically what it tells you is, hey, if I give you 1 millimeter of sore line on my chiplet, how much of gigabytes per second of bandwidth will I get for a given frequency? Now, that's a very reasonable expectation, right? It can't be, hey, I don't know, right? You have to know exactly how much of bandwidth you're going to get. Now, you know, of course, in this particular case, given that we in UCIe provide the bump map, we define the frequencies, it will follow really naturally. You can do the calculation. But that's basically what the specification does. It sets clear guidelines saying, you know, if you run at this frequency, this is how much of gigabytes per second per millimeter for this kind of link you're going to get. Then as a SIP provider, you can decide that, or as a chiplet designer, you can design, say, hey, I need two links or I need four links, right? Whatever may be your case, depending on your need, you can then go and choose that in order to get the desired performance. A second metric, for example, that we provide is power efficiency. Now, this particular one is, it does depend on your implementation. It depends on the process technology node. It depends on how you have done your design. So all of that, right? Power efficiency is dependent on some of that. But by providing the key metric, it basically gives you a zip code around which you will land, right? So you might be better, you might be slightly worse, but it gives you roughly the ballpark of what to expect. It's a very important parameter, because as a package designer, you need to know how to do power delivery, what kind of thermal solution you need to provide. So you need to get some idea as to how much power this thing is going to consume. Latency is another zip code type of metric that we provide, right? Of course, it can vary a little bit depending again on your process node, how you have done your design and all of that, but it can't vary too much, right? So you are expected to be within a particular range. We provide, for example, through the die-to-die adapter to the bump and back through the entire stack, we give a guidance that you need to be about 2 nanoseconds. Now, why is that important? Well, if I'm designing to something, I don't know who I'm going to necessarily interface with, if I'm a chiplet designer, that is. So when I'm doing my queue sizing and all of that, I need to figure out how deep to make my queues, because it's a credit loop that I need to take into account. So if you told me it is 2 nanoseconds, I'll say, okay, fine, maybe somebody will be 4. Maybe I double the number. Not that I'm expecting people to be worse by 2x, but if you want, you can decide how much of safety margin you want to have, and then you can decide on your queue sizes accordingly. If we give nothing, then no way to really design to something. So your designs become either too conservative, in which case you are unnecessarily wasting the die area, power, all of that, or you will fall short in terms of the actual bandwidth that you're going to get. So these are the reasons why we provided the metrics. Some of them are, like I said, they're very quantitative, given that we have fixed everything else in the spec, like the bandwidth density, those kind of things. You're going to get exactly what we say you're going to get. Some of them are a little bit of a zip code, around the zip code kind of number, but at least it helps set up the right expectations. The fundamental reason is that you don't want really to be in a situation where you are surprised, right? This eliminates that those negative kind of surprises.
That makes complete sense. So how does UCIe support a seamless experience, with plug-and-play chiplets beyond, just the interconnect?
Sure. Of course, like we talked about, at the interconnect level, we have specified everything, right? I mean, how does, I talked about the layers, how software interacts with it. So those are very well specified. So you design to something, you're going to interoperate with another component. The question you're asking is that, if you step back from there and look at how do you get a plug and play chiplets, right? So what we did with 2.0, so this is something we addressed in 2.0. And also, we continued on that theme with 3.0, and we will continue with that theme going forward in addition to the other things. I did briefly talk about things like testability, debug, manageability, those aspects that we introduced with 2.0 at the chiplet package or SIP level and the platform level. Now let's talk about some specific examples. And see how we address those. So for example, if you think about testing, right? People use, make your die, you want to test it to see, are things working or not? So you use tester. And the way testers work is that they're going to probe the bumps. Now with UCIe, for example, if you are doing micro bumps with advanced packaging or with 3D where pitch is even lower, you really cannot probe those micro bumps or the hybrid bonding pad, right, with a tester. So you need to be innovative and use other bumps, you might have a PCI Express bump, you might have a USB, right? So you can come through that indirectly and test your entire chiplet, including this interface. Now, some other questions arise with chiplets, how do you deal with repair once you have packaged something? How do you repair something that might fail in the field? right? I mean, there are questions around, hey, how do you debug something that you have assembled on the package? In the external interconnects like PCI Express or USB, you can put a logic analyzer, you can put a scope, you can see what is going on. Here, you really cannot, once you package something, I can't really go in and probe something there, right? How do I handle manageability, right? I mean, how do I do firmware download? How do I upgrade firmware, right? All of those things between the chiplets. How do we do all of these things securely? And especially, you have to also consider that some of the chiplets may not be directly accessible from the package pins. It might be the way the SIP is constructed, right? And then the question also arises that, okay, hey, if I figure out a way to debug or test, how much of debug bandwidth do I need? Well, you know, as you would expect, the answer varies, right? So you have to, we looked into all of these aspects and said that we need to define something that works seamlessly at the chiplet level, SIP level, platform level, works with existing solutions that involve other standards, right? People, you know, if you have a manageability solutions with MCTP, we don't want you to ditch it, right? We want to work seamlessly with that. And also things need to be scalable, right? That will address how much of bandwidth, for example, you need. So these are all things that you ask that are beyond the interconnect. And what we did with UCIe was we decided to take a holistic view and come up with some innovative solutions that can be applicable, that can be portable, and also at the same time, that is very lightweight. So what we did was we defined a common infrastructure. We said that, okay, you have existing IP blocks that do test, for example, maybe you got a memory array that you have a test, you know, you have a test harness or a test infrastructure that is built in, right? We're not asking you to change that, right? That's fine, keep that. But what we did was that we provide like a wrapper, think of it in that way, that's going to work with any of your existing IP building blocks. It's going to work with any of your existing external interfaces. So things like, you know, how do you bridge to an external interface? We define that for that off package connectivity. And then how do we take this for the especially chiplets that are not directly connected, mechanisms to transport those things seamlessly across chiplets. So we define all of that. It's like a small wrapper, and then we define some packets that identify saying, hey, I'm using it for the common infrastructure, and it's going to then work seamlessly with the chiplets for people that deploy UCIe 2.0. And again, if you want to delve deeper, please do check the webinars that are available in the UCIe website. But those are some of the things that we did starting with UCIe 2.0, so that we look at these aspects not just from the point of view of the interconnect, but we step back and look at it from the point of view of chiplets, package. I need to work also seamlessly at the platform level.
Right. Very interesting. So where are we at today? I mean, how are UCIe consortium members deploying UCIe in the ecosystem?
Okay, so there are two sets of things I'll talk about. One of them is the usage model, and then I'll give you some examples. Okay. So from a usage model point of view, there are two broad categories of usages. First of all, of course, first usage would be constructing an SoC at a package, SIP at a package level, right? Basically, what things that used to be at the platform level are now coming to the package level. So think of processing chiplets like CPU, GPU, accelerators, on package memory, I/O connectivity for external I/O, memory connectivity, analog chiplets, optical interconnects, all of those things, those are all packaged together, right? So that's the first problem statement for which UCIe exists, is to use chiplets to form a SIP or a system in a package. So that's, of course, that's the most obvious one. Second time that type that we addressed is off-package connectivity. So things like co-packaged optics. So for example, you construct a package, you have a really cool co-packaged optics solution, and you want to connect all of these packages using UCIe at the rack level or even at the pod level. This allows you to create things like, you know, a dynamically composable systems at the rack level. For example, hey, I need some extra memory, I can go off to this other location that has memory using my optical connection through UCIe, co-packaged optics, get that extra memory while I need it, And then it's not memory as in your RDMA kind of memory, but these are like direct load store, right? Low latency memory, like you would be connecting DRAM next to your SoC. So you can go access that while you need it, and then later on you can release that back to the pool, right? So that's what I mean by dynamically composable systems at the rack level. It's a very powerful construct if you think about it. And at the same time, also we wanted to support distributed processing, effective distributed processing. Once I have these things with UCIe, with the load store message passing, low latency accesses, I can do distributed processing very effectively at the rack level and pod level. So that's the second type, right? So first type is, of course, construction of the SIP. Second type is the off-package connectivity, things like co-packaged optics. So that's the usage model point of view that the consortium members are very interested in, and they keep driving. And then, you know, within those, there are different classes, like, you know, hey, automotive needs this. Hey, you know, my DSP chiplets need these. So we are constantly increasing our footprint in the different segments where things are applicable. People are ready to move to UCIe from their proprietary stuff. Now, from a real implementation point of view, we'll definitely talk about things that are in the public domain, right? I can talk about things that people are not ready to announce publicly. So the first one, real demonstration that I have seen came the interop demo between Intel and Synopsys. That was in fall of 2023. So two test silicons, one done, of course, Intel's was done using Intel process technology. Synopsys was done using TSMC. It was Intel's EMIB-based packaging. And we showed that the two chiplets were interoperating with UCIe at speed. So think about it. So March of 2022, we did announce the consortium. That's when the spec is available. About a year and a half later, people are doing interop. The speed has been very impressive, to say the least, right? You got the chips back, you're testing, right, interop. Then shortly after that, Chiplet Summit 2024, you had Synopsys, Cadence, AlphaWave, which is now part of Qualcomm. They were showing silicon that are running UCIe. There is, of course, widespread availability of VIPs, which is the verification IPs. You need that for making sure that your design works, right? Last year, 2025, OFC, IR Labs demoed their UCIe-based co-packaged optics. This was the second type of usage that I was talking about, right? Disaggregation at the rack and the pod level. So that was the target usage, but IR Labs did public demo of UCIe-based co-packaged optics. Again, last year, which was like a few months back, 2025 hot chips, NVIDIA had an NVLink fusion through UCIe chiplets presentation in there. Also, when we did the announcement of UCIe, Synopsys released a customer survey that they do that we also used during that announcement for UCIe 3.0. So they did a survey, and I'll talk about a couple of metrics that they did. So first thing that they did based on their customer survey was what fractions of designs are based on UCIe. Well, UCIe-A was 39%. UCIe-S, which is the standard packaging, 58%. So 39% for advanced, 58% for standard, total of 97%, which is an impressive segment of the market. The second aspect that they also reported was by application. So server and AI applications were 53% out of those. Automotive was 19%, networking was 10%, consumer was 8%, rest were edge, storage, and miscellaneous segments, right? So very wide range of usage models, and then of course a predominant use of UCIe, which is extremely powerful indicator, right, of how healthy and strong the ecosystem is. So clearly, you know, the need was there. We came up with the right technology, with the right open standard-based thing, and the market is, and then basically the ecosystem is using it, which is always a good thing to see.
Great. Last question. You know, we know we're out today, but what about the future? You know, how is UCIe technology evolving to meet some of the next generation of performance demands?
Sure. As I said earlier, that personally have been driving standards for more than two decades now, right? Fortunate enough to be doing that, and PCI Express, CXL, and now UCIe. One of the things to keep in mind that these are multi-generational and multi-decade standards. And also one standard that we drive, but multiple applications. And you know, it covers the entire compute continuum, right? It's not for only this segment or that segment. It's meant for the entire compute continuum. If you look at PCI Express, it's ubiquitous, right, across everywhere. And that's also the goal for UCIe, which we have been very successful based on some of the statistics I just talked about. So one of the things that we have learned is that the compute landscape keeps changing, and it goes through evolutions, it goes through revolutions, right? And what you need to do is to keep innovating and stay ahead. Sometimes you might fall behind, that's okay, but in that case you just acknowledge it and then move quickly to, you know, make up wherever you are lacking, right? So that's what basically drives successful standards for multiple generations, for multiple decades. And you know, we are at the start of that journey. As you can see, we are quickly addressing any usage model needs that the industry has. We are addressing at the same time the performance needs that they have. So we will continue to drive UCIe as the ubiquitous standard for on-package connectivity, and this will be applicable across the entire compute landscape for decades to come. So we are always working on a set of very interesting problems. So there is no lack or dearth of those. So stay tuned. But you know, it's a very exciting time to be in chiplets and to be in UCIe.
I can agree completely. It's an exciting time to be in the semiconductor industry, and it's people like Absolutely. Yourselves that made this all possible. So I really appreciate it, and it was great speaking with you, and hopefully we can catch up and talk sometime. Unfortunately, I missed you at the Chiplet Summit recently. You did a keynote, but maybe at the next conference, but it'd be a pleasure to meet
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you're here, let me know.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.